While riding on a train going west.
That's the voice, of course, the unmistakable voice of Bob Dylan. My voice is that of Rick Cogan filling in for John Williams. Ray Mosley, a former colleague of mine, had a long and distinguished career as a foreign and diplomatic correspondent for United Press International and the Chicago Tribune, stationed in various places around the world. He has written a remarkable book. It is called Reporting War, How Foreign Correspondents Risked Capture, Torture, and Death to Cover World War II. Ray, how are you? I haven't seen you in ages.
Absolutely. It seems 100 years now.
It sure does. It sure does.
It's nice to talk to you.
Well, it's nice to talk to you, too, in London. You write in the book, you write a final personal note in the preface saying, in my own career as a foreign correspondent from 1961 to 2001, which encompassed several wars, I encountered 14 of the World War II crowd and became friends with a few of them. Not one ever mentioned his or her wartime experience, nor did I ask. Perhaps this book will make some amends for that lack of curiosity on my part. That's very humble of you, but my father, Ray, as I'm sure you know, Herman Cogan, was a foreign correspondent during World War II in the Pacific, and he did not talk much about those experiences either. It's really, I'm not sure it's our fault for a lack of curiosity.
No, I've heard the same thing about people who fought in the war that came home and didn't really talk about it. And I guess the same is true of correspondents. But, you'd think over a beer or something, somebody would reminisce about this, but none of them ever did with me.
Yeah, I have always found that to be part of the most intriguing aspect of World War II. What is the seed? What compelled you? Because there's an awful lot of work, Ray, and I commend you for the deep research in this book. I mean, how long did it take you to write this book?
A number of people asked me that, and I can hardly remember.
You can't remember, right? Of course.
I probably spent close to a year researching it, and maybe 6 months or 6 or 8 months writing it.
Boy, that's pretty quick. Well, what compelled you? What compelled you? Because this is a big project to take on.
Yeah, well, I first got onto this idea when I read a book by a British historian, Ian Kershaw, called The End. It was a account of the last days of the Nazi Empire, and something in a chapter about the war in the Soviet Union prompted me to start thinking about the Western correspondents in Moscow and how they had covered the war. I was myself a former Moscow correspondent and had some experience of how the Soviet government worked. So I was asking myself, were the correspondents allowed to report from the battlefronts or confined to reporting official pronouncements, and how strict was the censorship? Could they report on or even hint at Soviet defeats?
Mm-hmm.
So out of that line of questioning myself, I decided, the subject of the coverage of the entire war was worth the subject of a book. So I started my research.
Well, it's a remarkable, I really found it a remarkable, remarkable book. It was filled with surprises and revelations for me, because I think that, you know, when we look at, you know, the contemporary coverage of wars with people embedded, and much of our information comes, of course, from television, which was not available during World War II, it also makes me question, Ray, and perhaps Ray Mosley, perhaps you can answer this question. What motivates, I know what motivated my dad, because I read something he wrote later after he had died about why he decided to become a foreign correspondent, a war correspondent in the Marine Corps during World War II. Is there any way to generalize, Ray, what motivated people, 99% of the men in World War II, to want to cover the war?
I think you could probably find several motivations. One obvious one is to promote their own careers. There's no better way to do that than to cover probably the biggest news story in history. I think the other aspect is a great many correspondences, including ones I've worked with covering various wars. It's part of the job. You do it. And a lot of them were probably scared to death a good bit of the time, but they saw it as their job and they went ahead. And some were covered only a few months of the war, but a great many of them were there for 4 to 6 years. And the strain on their psyches must have been absolutely terrific.
Well, as you wonderfully articulated in the book, I think there are some who went into the business of covering the war who didn't quite realize what they were getting into. As the subtitle of your great book, Reporting War, says, how foreign correspondents risked capture, torture, and death to cover World War II. Many of them initially, though it may have been terrifying once they got there, they didn't realize the depth of potential trouble and problems that they were in the middle of, did they?
No, I don't think so. Certainly in the latter stages of the war, and particularly after the Normandy invasion, they would have. But in the early stages, I don't think that was necessarily true. And there were 69 of them killed, either on the battlefield or in accidents or through disease, and about 122 wounded. And that doesn't take account of the Soviet losses. There were 16 working for one Soviet newspaper who were killed and 60 Soviet photographers. So it was
And also, another fascinating aspect of the book is the difference between, and again, you articulate this wonderfully, the difference between covering World War II for print and covering it for radio. Wildly different kind of MOs for both of those media, don't you think?
Yeah, I think so. And the radio people, I have to say, had a particularly hard time because they didn't have the kind of links that exist today. They largely depended on people in the home office listening in at the right time, or ham radio operators contacting their head offices and telling them. And a good many of their radio dispatches simply never got on the air for that reason, because people weren't listening at the right time.
Well, obviously, and I'm sure many of the listeners would know and could even say that the most famous radio war correspondent of World War II was Edward R. Murrow. Ray Moseley, not only was he articulate and I would think rather brave, but what else distinguished Murrow in that horrifying conflict?
Well, you know, Murrow came to London with no journalistic experience.
I know.
The CBS was to arrange things like choirs to appear on CBS. But he had an absolute flair for it. And one thing he practiced himself and taught his other correspondents was the small detail. I mean, he went into a wartime shelter and reported about a man holding the crowd in the shelter with his tail of the big fish that got away. There were little details like that he was exceedingly good at. I think Eric Severide of CBS was probably a better writer than Murrow, and he's one of my favorites from the dispatches that I read.
What about Ray Moseley? We've got to take a little break here. I'd love to keep you on all the way till for about 10 more minutes if you're available. I know you're in London. I know your life is busy, but this book, we could talk about this book. I mean, if you were back in Chicago, I'd take you out for about 8 or 9 drinks and we could talk for the next 20 hours about it. It is.
I'll catch the next plane.
The offer's on the table. Reporting War: How Foreign Correspondents Risk Capture, Torture, and Death to cover World War II, and many of those forest correspondents not just risked capture, they were captured, they were tortured, and they did die covering the war and bringing it back to the readers and listeners in the United States. We'll be back with Ray Mosley momentarily. That's Bob Dylan, just because I like Bob Dylan. I am quite taken with Ray Mosley, a former colleague of mine, Ray Mosley, who's a distinguished career as a foreign and diplomatic correspondent for the Tribune, among other places. His book, Reporting War, How Foreign Correspondents Risk Capture, Torture, and Death to Cover World War II, is fascinating, not just because I am a journalist and not just because my father was a war correspondent in World War II in the Pacific, but because it is so different from what we now, the way we now consume news, and the people who deliver it in this book are so vastly different. And one of the other things, Ray, that, and thanks for joining me from London on the phone, one of the other things that distinguishes your book is this is not, you know, it's not America-centric. You talk about how journalists from all sorts of places, Canada and Britain and the Soviet Union and South Africa and Australia, covered the war too, and that gives me a brand new perspective. Did it give you a new perspective too, or did you know that?
No, absolutely. I knew nothing about most of the Australian correspondents except Alan Moorhead, and I thought they did some of the best reporting of the whole war. And of course, they didn't get the acclaim that people in America and Britain got because they didn't have as wide a readership, but some extraordinary reporting. Alan Moorhead, I think, was probably the best correspondent of the whole war.
Arguably the most famous, I suppose, tell me I'm wrong, print correspondent was Ernie Pyle, yes?
Oh, absolutely.
What distinguished him?
Well, Ernie Pyle had a soft touch for the infantry guys slogging it out in the mud and everything, and he wrote about them. He was, some people, long after the war, criticized him for writing mainly hero stories.
But yeah,
to a degree, that's what his editors wanted. That's what the public wanted. But none of these people glamorized war. He particularly thought war was an unmitigated disaster. I think he suffered greatly from it. He started drinking heavily. He was afraid he wasn't going to come out alive, and of course he didn't come out alive. He
right.
was killed right toward the end of the war. But I think some of the writing that came out of this war was terrific. Moorhead's description of the destruction of a German army in the Falaise Gap in 1944 was one of the best pieces of war reporting I've ever read.
Was much of this stuff, Ray Mosley, was much war reporting later gathered in collections, or had people, you would think to yourself, or I would think to myself, that publishers would be reluctant to publish collections of war writing because many people just wanted to forget the war. My father was in one, I think the book was called Uncommon Valor, which was indeed a collection of war correspondent writing from the Pacific. But was there much of that?
I'm struggling to remember the title right now, but there's a two-volume collection of war reporting put together by a number of academics after the war.
Yeah.
And with some of the best accounts.
Were you, Ray Mosley, in researching this book, did you begin to think of the, I know you knew about many of them, you met many former correspondents personally in your time at the wandering the world, did you think of them in a newly heroic fashion? Or you said earlier in the interview that you know, a lot of these guys just thought this is their job.
Yeah.
Did you see them in a different kind of light after researching this book?
Well, I have to say I admire these people greatly. I thought some of the writing was absolutely exceptional, and I've tried to quote in the book as much that as I could without.
You do. You do a great job of that.
And particularly some of the women reporters were terrific. The women really came into their own in World War II. There hadn't been.
Well, you write at the beginning of the introduction too, and I keep mentioning the title because I think people should buy it. Reporting War, How Foreign Correspondents Risk Capture, Torture, and Death to Cover World War II by Ray Moseley. You write in here, in modern wars, the presence of women correspondents is taken for granted. In World War II, they were a novelty, and the Allied military did its best to bar them from combat coverage, while the more intrepid of them did their best to circumvent the military. In highlighting those people, you also highlight black journalists, which one doesn't even think of, in covering for such places as the Chicago Defender and other predominantly African-American newspapers around the country. They must have had a hard time, too, did they not, along with the women?
Oh, I'm sure they did, although I didn't uncover as many stories dealing with that, but absolutely they did. And there were 27 of them, all but one of whom worked for African-American publications.
Wow.
Only one of them worked for white-owned publications.
Well, and one of the rare women correspondents, Martha Gellhorn, went to, after her coverage of the war, went to a sort of different kind of domestic war when she married crazy old Ernest Hemingway, didn't she?
Yes, Hemingway comes across in my book, I think, is a total boor.
Absolutely. I'm so glad. You know, the more, you know, Hemingway, he's a good writer, but, man, the more I learn about this guy, and I learned a great deal in your book as a, you know, this guy is not up there in the pantheon of war correspondents or even war coverage or even nice guys.
Absolutely not. And he did a lot of things that should have gotten him barred from and sent home.
Yeah, I agree.
Carrying weapons and pretending.
Well, Ray, I hope this book sells like crazy. It is not only insightful about a part of history that, you know, you think to yourself, oh, well, man, there's been 80,000 books written about World War II. You have found an aspect of that incredible conflict that is not just riveting, it's enlightening and it's insightful. And this is a book, ladies and gentlemen, that you should buy. It is titled Reporting War, How Foreign Correspondents Risked Capture, Torture, and Death to Cover World War II. Ray Moseley's an old newspaper guy, and there aren't a lot of old newspaper guys who can write great books. Ray, you've done the profession proud, I'll tell you that.
Well, thank you very much.
My pleasure. And that offer for, you know, 30 or 40 drinks somewhere and tell war stories is on the table the next time you're in Chicago.
By all means, I'll keep that in mind.
Thanks. Great success with the book. My pleasure. My pleasure, Ray. My pleasure. Ray Moseley from London. We'll take a break, and then we'll come back.